You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So I'm bringing a piece on privacy law and how that's been recently updated. So as of December 1st this year, New Zealand will see an update to the 1993 Privacy Act, which aims to strengthen privacy protections. With technology having progressed a long way since 1993, this change has been seen as needed for quite a while by those who are in regular contact with it, as well as by two-thirds of New Zealanders who, according to a recent survey, want to see more privacy in everyday life. Before we hear from Gihan Gunasekara, an associate professor at the University of Auckland who specialises in privacy within business, who is also a chair of the New Zealand Privacy Foundation, I thought we'd cover what's going to come into place in December. So firstly, if a company does have a privacy breach, they must notify the Privacy Commissioner as well as those whose privacy has been breached. Now, this is important as we've seen recently with the COVID-19 cases that privacy breaches can have some really serious consequences. Now, to make sure businesses comply with the privacy law, the commissioner will have the power to do something or stop a company from doing something so that they do comply. Now, some of the powers from the Human Rights Review Tribunal will also be transferred to the commissioner when it comes to complaints surrounding information, with all decisions being made by the commissioner binding. Now, the new law will also allow for greater cross-border protections, which will not only make sure that New Zealand information is being kept secure overseas, but also to make sure overseas companies are complying with our laws when engaging with New Zealand agencies. There will also be the ability for class actions to be taken, which Gihan will cover, as well as there will be new criminal offences to mislead an agency or to destroy personal information if it is requested, which comes with fines and, I think, was also potentially imprisonment. And finally, the commissioner's power to search for information has been strengthened, with the ability to shorten the time frame in which agencies must comply, as well as an increased fine. Now, to understand more about what these changes mean for New Zealand, I started off by asking Gihan what was new.
So the new act is not a huge change from the old act. We still have a principles-based framework. And except we have, instead of 12 information privacy principles, we now have 13, same number as in Australia with their Australian privacy principles, but they're not identically aligned. But that's not the biggest change. The biggest change is, well, obviously there have been tweaks off some of the information principles, so they're not exactly the same as what they used to be. For example, there's a new data minimization principle, the principle one, so you shouldn't even be collecting personal information if you can do business without it. That's the key change that most people won't be aware of. The other big change is the cross-border aspect. So now if any information, personal information, is to be sent outside of New Zealand, you have to be, there's additional safeguards. You have to make sure the country you're sending it to is equivalent, has equivalent safeguards to New Zealand. Otherwise, you have to take extra measures like special contractual measures, contracts with whoever you're sending it to, that they will promise to maintain New Zealand standards, etc., etc.
Now, should we have seen these changes to the Privacy Act earlier? I mean, we have seen quite a number of large breaches since 1993, so should this have been coming a lot earlier than 2020?
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, we at the Privacy Foundation have been saying that, but you know, better late than never. We're quite delighted that finally this government had the, you know, the courage and the, not more than the courage, they actually had the ability to deliver on their election promise. They said they would enact a new Privacy Act in their first term, and they've done that, and all credit to them.
And how could, I mean, obviously it's been a long time coming, so going into the future, how could privacy law work to combat the fast-growing pace of technology, because that's where we're seeing a lot of privacy breaches?
Yeah, you're always going to have that issue. The law is always going to be a few steps behind. And one of the things that I very strongly advocate, both as an academic and as a privacy advocate, is I think the government should set up a high-level advisory panel, and it should include a range of people, not just lawyers, but it should include academics maybe, but also industry players and others, who should basically monitor developments around the world, advise the government
what is best practice, and we should, you know, we should certainly be ready to enact legal changes if there's a good case for it. And I mean obviously our law is not as advanced as the European GDPR, but there are aspects of the GDPR, like automated processing, and by automated processing I mean things like facial recognition, AI, you know, systems that are already pre-screening employment applications and those kinds of things. Now, that's a potential area where people might be discriminated against. There could be a whole lot of things. Our law currently, the brand new Privacy Act, doesn't have any specifics on those kinds of things. Its general principles apply up to a point, but it's not really fit for purpose in dealing with those kinds of things like artificial intelligence.
Yeah, so I was going to say, like, what does this mean for companies such as Facebook or Google who have huge amounts of data within their companies?
Well, the other big change is that now Section 4 of the Act makes it very clear that any overseas organization doing business in New Zealand is going to be caught by our legislation. So it's using exactly the same standard as the European GDPR regulation and the Australian Privacy Act. Australia has had this for a while. So if you're doing business in Australia, it doesn't matter where you're based. If you're targeting Australians or doing business in Australia, you have to comply with their Privacy Act. And now it's exactly the same for New Zealand as well. New Zealand is imposing that standard.
So I was going to say, like, obviously, I mean, with Facebook, Google, like, they're huge companies, and looking at sort of the fines and the offences that can be pushed against.
Sure. That is an obvious criticism that, you know, how enforceable is this? I mean, that hasn't stopped. I mean, okay, so in Europe, you know, there can be billions of dollars in fines, and in other countries. But it's not the level of the fine that I think is the biggest deterrent. I think that what people are missing is that the fact that the commissioner has jurisdiction to investigate and at least to investigate complaints, for one thing. And also, people mustn't forget that under the new Privacy Act, class action's possible. People can sue, because we already have people suing under the Privacy Act in New Zealand. They go not to the courts, but to a tribunal called the Human Rights Tribunal. And as we know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of people have got in damages. I mean, there was a Facebook icing case not that long ago, $168,000. So now, just think about it, people will have the possibility to bring class actions. So you could have 100 or even 1,000 people joining together, each one suing for, you know, you can sue up to a maximum of $350,000 under the Privacy Act. You could have class actions brought against these big multinational companies. So that's one possibility. The other possibility, which we have already seen, is that increasingly privacy authorities are collaborating around the world. So we have the joint investigation between the Canadian Privacy Commissioner and the Australian Privacy Commissioner against Ashley Madison, following that spectacular privacy breach a few years ago. And that was a joint investigation. And now, the significance of that is that I think we'll have more joint investigations in future. So it's likely that New Zealand would team up perhaps with the Federal Trade Commission in the US or the Australian Privacy Commissioner, and together they will take these companies to task. And I think that is a very, very real possibility.
Okay. And you did mention the tribunal, and looking at some of the changes that have been, they're going to come into place, it seems like a lot more power is now being placed with the commissioner and what decisions they can make around privacy breaches. Why is this?
Yeah, so the new thing, the new parts of the Act are that now you people have to notify privacy breaches. So if you have a privacy breach, you can't sweep it under the carpet. And even if nobody else has found out about it, you have to inform the people. And you have to inform the Privacy Commissioner. You've got to inform the affected individuals and the Commissioner. And there's a fine for non-compliance with that, obviously.
And what will this mean for just regular businesses within New Zealand, even if it's just a small breach?
Well, there's a threshold, and I think businesses will have to get up to speed with what that threshold is. And the threshold is only if the breach is likely to cause serious harm to the individual. So each business will have to do a little bit of homework on that and think about what kinds of information they have, what's the likelihood if somebody gets hold of it. It's also an incentive for those businesses to take steps before a breach happens to make sure that they minimize risks. So if you've got, to take the recent case of the COVID situation, if you've got highly sensitive information, like, you know, case histories of the people that have been infected, which hotels they're in, their names, addresses, I mean, those kinds of things, the last thing you want is for those people to be hounded and, you know, victimized in some way for having COVID, which is not really their fault. We know there have been cases of that. Obviously, that's the government agencies holding that information needed to have been extra careful to make sure that that information didn't get into the wrong hands. Now, we don't know if it was an accident or deliberate. One hopes that it was accidental and not deliberate. But even if it was an accident and someone clicked send, you know, without checking who they were sending it to, maybe they meant to send it to another government official and they accidentally send it to the journalists. That's still very serious because it means that they didn't have proper processes to make sure that they safeguarded that information, and they needed having some kind of firewalls to make sure that, you know, we check before this goes off.
So are we likely to see the government and potentially these larger businesses putting in more firewalls and more processes so that they aren't going to have these breaches?
I would think so. And I think larger organisations, obviously they have a higher duty because they've got more information. I think the fear is that, you know, everyone, small, medium businesses in New Zealand need, you know, this is going to be an additional compliance burden on them. But I don't think so. I mean, I think that any sensible business would... First of all, I mean, I gave a talk about this last week, and what I said was you need to, first of all, see, do you really need to keep all this information? Because the more personal information you have, the greater the risk that somebody will get into the wrong hands, and then you'll end up with a breach. So if you've got information that's no longer needed because the people aren't your customers anymore, you know, or it's from some old information which you inherited, but, you know, the files are no longer really needed, you should really consider destroying it, because the longer you keep that information, the greater risk you have that there's going to be some kind of breach. And, you know, things happen in all sorts of ways. I mean, a business leaves an office, that leaves the building or premises, you leave all your filing cabinets behind with all the personal information. Other examples are you have your hard drive, you don't delete it, you upgrade your computers, you just get rid of your computers, leaving all the client data. You know, those are the kinds of basic things that most businesses, I think, will need to step up their game and make sure that they think about those things.
Okay, so this regulation's coming into place in December. Do you think these changes will satisfy New Zealanders who want to see more privacy regulation, as we saw in the survey put out quite recently?
Well, they'll have to, won't they, because there's no other legislation due to be passed. And, I mean, it's certainly a massive improvement on what we've had before. And we've got some really positive changes, like, you know, breach notification now. Everyone's going to have to front foot it. Then there's the cross-border thing. Overseas companies doing business are going to be caught by the law, so there's a level playing field. So, you know, we don't have a unfair situation where New Zealand business has to comply with the Privacy Act, but an online retailer, for example, doesn't. No, an online retailer will also have to comply with this law. So all of those things are really good, and I think New Zealanders need to take some comfort in that.
So just to sort of put this out there, I did this interview last Monday before we found out that National leaked the details, which is why he was talking about it with a bit of caution about what had happened. But I just want to say, make sure to tune in again next week, but on Thursday, to hear more about how New Zealanders understand privacy law and whether this is some change that people have been wanting, as I talked to the Associate Privacy Commissioner about that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.